Then Jesus said to his disciples, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, or about your body, what you wear. For life is more than food, and the body more than clothes. Consider the ravens. They do not sow or reap. They have no storeroom or barn, yet God feeds them. And how much more valuable you are than the birds. Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to your life? Since you cannot do this very little thing, why do you worry about the rest? Consider how the wild flowers grow. They do not labor or spin, yet I tell you, not even Solomon, in all his splendor, was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, how much more will he clothe you, you of little faith? And do not set your heart on what you think you will eat or drink. Do not worry about it, for the pagan world runs after such things, and your Father knows that you need them. But seek his kingdom, and these things will be given to you as well. Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give to the poor. Provide purses for yourselves that will not wear out, a treasure in heaven that will never fail, where no thief comes near and no moths destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will also be."
Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life. I wonder how you're getting on with this command from Jesus. I wonder how well we all sleep at night. I wonder how much of our energy is consumed with anxiety. Jesus isn't making a suggestion, he's issuing a command. Do not worry. How can he say such a thing? Well, the word therefore in verse 22 points back to the previous parable. Jesus has been saying, watch out, be on your guard against all kinds of greed. Life does not consist in an abundance of possessions. And Jesus told them a parable. A rich man, a rich fool, builds bigger barns to store up his surplus grain. He says to himself in verse 19, "You have plenty of grain laid up for many years. Take life easy. Eat, drink, and be merry." But God says to him, verse 20, "You fool. This very night, your life will be demanded from you." Verse 22, "This is how it will be with whoever stores up things for themselves, but is not rich towards God. Money will count for nothing on the day of judgment. So why do we worry about it? God expects us to be rich towards him, to love him, to trust him. And therefore, not to worry. If God is my Father, if I'm in relationship with him, I have nothing to worry about. George Muller was a Christian evangelist and the director of the Ashley Down Orphanage in Bristol. And during his life, he cared for 10,024 orphans and provided schooling for the orphans to the point that he was accused of raising the poor above their station. He established 117 schools which offered education to more than 120,000 children, many of whom were orphans. Through all this, Muller never made requests for financial support, nor did he ever go into debt. Many times he received food donations only hours before they were needed to feed the children, further strengthening his faith in God. Muller was in constant prayer. On one occasion, thanks was given for breakfast when all the children were sitting at the table, even though there was nothing to eat in the house. As they finished praying, the baker knocked on the door with sufficient fresh bread to feed everyone. And the milkman gave them plenty of fresh milk because his cart broke down in front of the orphanage. Muller says that a brother in the Lord came to see me this morning, and after a few minutes of conversation, gave me £2,000 for furnishing the new orphan house. Now I'm able to meet all the expenses. In all probability, I will even have several hundred pounds more than I need. The Lord not only gives as much as is absolutely necessary for his work, but he gives abundantly. This blessing filled me with inexplicable delight. He had given me the full answer to my thousands of prayers. And Muller said this: the beginning of anxiety is the end of faith. And the beginning of true faith is the end of anxiety. The beginning of anxiety is the end of faith. And the beginning of true faith is the end of anxiety. You can't be anxious and exercising faith at the same time. The Christian says, I will trust and not be afraid. Isaiah 12:2. Surely God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. The Lord himself, is my strength and my defense. He has become my salvation. Well, let's dig deeper into what Jesus says here. Two headings on your sheets on the tables: the futility of worry and the opposite of worry. Firstly then, the futility of worry. Verse 22. Then Jesus said to his disciples, therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, or about your body, what you will wear. For life is more than food, and the body more than clothes. Consider the ravens. By the way, ravens were unclean birds. Even though they are unclean, Jesus says, consider the ravens. They do not sow or reap. They have no storeroom or barn. Yet God feeds them. And how much more valuable are you than birds? This takes us back to our studies in Genesis 1. We are more valuable than birds and animals. We are not animals. We are made in the image of God. Animals are not. But here is Jesus' point about the futility of worrying. Verse 25. Who of you by worrying can add a single hour to your life? Or it could read, who of you by worrying can add a single cubit to your height? You're going to die when God says you'll die. And you'll be as tall as God decides. It's utterly futile, pointless to worry. Verse 26, since you cannot do this very thing, why do you worry about the rest? Why do we worry? A writer called David Mackenzie says this: to act out the principle of turning prayers over to God, we took a paper bag, wrote God on it, and taped it up high on the back of our kitchen door. As I prayed about matters such as my career, my role as a father, my abilities to be a good husband, I would write down each concern on a piece of paper. Then those pieces of paper would go in the bag. They were turned over to God. They were put in the bag. The rule was that if you start worrying about a matter of prayer that you've turned over to God, you have to climb up on a chair and fish it out of the bag. So you've taken it back on yourself, haven't you? Which is very, very silly. But I do it all the time. And I expect you to do. You do too. An alternative to that is to make a record of concerns which we've given over to God. In our home group, we write down everyone's prayers in a book. And we have a record of answered prayer that goes back 5 years. Worry is futile. Verse 27. Consider how the wildflowers grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you, not even Solomon, in all his splendor, was dressed like one of these. God is generous. We see his generosity in the wild flowers. And verse 28, if that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire. In Jesus' culture, grass was used for fuel. How much more will he clothe you, you of little faith? I don't want to hear that from Jesus. You of little faith. Don't you want to be judged by Jesus, a person of great faith? Well, verse 29. And do not set your heart on what you will eat or drink. Do not worry about it. For the pagan world runs after all such things, and your Father knows that you need them. Worry is such a futile waste of time because we are not pagans. We are not alone in the universe. We have a heavenly Father who knows what we need. And he wants to give us perfect peace. The futility of worry. Now, secondly, the opposite of worry, verse 31. But seek his kingdom, and these things will be given to you as well. How do you seek the kingdom of God? You say to yourself, what matters is not career and money and pleasure. These things will pass away. They belong to the kingdom of this world. But what really counts is relationship with God, the forgiveness of sins, knowing that we're going to heaven, knowing that this life is not the end. And therefore, because that is true, I'm going to seek God's kingdom. I'm going to put my energies into things which last eternally. I'm going to spend time every day reading God's word. This matters for eternity. This builds my relationship with God. So maybe I'm going to cut time spent looking at screens. I'm going to cut social media, and I'm going to prioritize God's word. And then I'm going to prioritize prayer. It's a great shame, a futile shame, to spend time worrying about life, but not to spend time praying about life. Are you worried about your children? Pray for them. Are you worried about your health? Commit it to the Lord in prayer. Are you worried about your finances, your job? Maybe you're worried about many things. Seek God's kingdom. Make living for Jesus your priority. Live to win others for Christ. And these things, the things you're worried about, will be given to you as well. This doesn't mean I'll be rich. Some of God's people live in poverty in the developing world. The prosperity gospel is a lie, I'm afraid. God might make me rich, that's up to him. But the teaching is, seek first God's kingdom as your priority and trust God for the things you need. God does meet our needs, not all our wants, but our needs. And in heaven, we'll be thoroughly rich. So verse 32, do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. That's the opposite of worry. Freedom from fear. How much of our lives is given over to fear? Do not be afraid, says Jesus. I wonder, what are you afraid of? Our Heavenly Father has given us the kingdom. God has given us the privilege of living, belonging to his kingdom. The best this world can offer is living in Theresa May's Britain, or Macron's France, or Donald Trump's America. Countless refugees would love to live in May's Britain, or Macron's France, or Trump's America. But we know, don't we, that there are lots of problems when you actually live here. By contrast, God gives us his kingdom. Wow! In the new creation, we will fulfill responsibilities in God's kingdom. Isaiah 65, verse 21, describing the new creation, the kingdom of God, says they will build houses and dwell in them. They will plant vineyards and eat their fruit. My chosen ones will enjoy the work of their hands. So, hope this doesn't disappoint you, but to be given the kingdom is not a holiday. We will serve God in the new creation, and we will enjoy it. I don't think we'll be burning the candle at both ends. I don't think we'll be stressed out. I don't think we'll be exhausted. We'll be enjoying God and his kingdom. It'll be wonderful. By contrast, those who reject Christ will be experiencing his judgment for all eternity. Yes, the opposite of worry is to focus on the new creation. Bernard is looking forward to tennis in the new creation. I'm looking forward to rugby with no foul play. I'm looking forward to concerts, whether or not I'll be in them. And when heaven is our focus, we sit lightly to wealth now, verse 33. Sell your possessions and give to the poor. Provide purses for yourselves that will not wear out, a treasure in heaven that will never fail, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. In heaven, we will have lasting wealth. The banks will never fail. The stock market will never crash. There will be no crime. There will be no decay. Focus on the new creation. And it helps you to sit lightly to the wealth we have now. This doesn't mean we should give all our money away. If we did that, we'd all be a burden on other people. Moreover, Jesus' disciples had money which they used to give to the poor. Jesus was supported by wealthy friends like Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. He didn't tell them to give all their money away. Sometimes, however, it is necessary just to give it away. Remember the rich young ruler in Matthew 10? Jesus said to him, "One thing you lack, go sell everything you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me." If you remember the story, the man's face falls. He goes away sad because he had great wealth. And Jesus said, "How hard it is for the rich to enter the kingdom of God." He said, "It's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God." For the rich young ruler, Jesus diagnosed that his wealth was the issue. Maybe it is for someone here. I don't know. But the point Jesus is making in verse 34 is, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Where do you invest your treasure? That's an indication of where your heart is. Some people spend all their money on sport, or on going on cruises, or shopping, or any number of other things. There's nothing wrong with these things, nothing wrong with good things. But the clear priority of our life should be supporting gospel work. That shows where your heart is. And when you get your heart right, when you're loving God and trusting God, that sets you free from anxiety, because you're secure in a relationship with God. We've seen the futility of worry. And we've seen the opposite of worry. The opposite of worry is seeking God's kingdom as a priority, trusting God that he will give us his kingdom to serve in. Sacrificial generosity, which shows us that Jesus and his kingdom is the priority. How are we doing with all this? Do we need to repent of our anxiety? Repent of worrying about everything. Jesus says, "Do not be afraid." We have to repent when we give in to fear. So we're going through life. We suddenly feel worried about something. We feel anxious about something. And we give our mind over to worrying, maybe for 5 minutes, maybe for 5 hours, maybe all night. And then you realize what you've done. I've been worrying. How foolish of me. And you say to the Lord, Lord, I'm really sorry. I know you've told me not to worry. I know you've told me not to be afraid. And I've been worrying. Lord, I'm really sorry. And when we do that, God forgives us, fills us afresh with his Spirit, and we're able to go on free from anxiety. Do we need to renew our trust in God? Do we need to reaffirm that Jesus is our treasure, that we're living for him, living for his kingdom, and therefore all is well? Let's pray. Father, we're all the same. We all feel worried about things. Some of us struggle more than others. We pray for one another now that we will be able to give all our concerns to you and to trust you. And instead of worrying, help us to live for your kingdom, to focus all our energies and thoughts on serving you in the work of the gospel. Help us in this, Lord. Help us to come to greater maturity in it. For Jesus' sake, amen.